Connecticut is warning water utilities after cyber attacks disrupted systems in at least 7 states across the country. Now, here in Connecticut, we are being told by state officials that no Connecticut water system has reported an attack. However, they acknowledge they don't know how many systems use the equipment that has already been targeted. To talk more about this and understand it, we are chatting now with Evan Allard, who is the director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center, which is part of the State Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. Evan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. I mean, this was a little bit alarming. I am glad to know that Connecticut wasn't directly targeted, but even that, I don't even feel comfortable saying that because we still, at this point, do we not know if any of our systems are connected to the ones in the 7 states that were targeted?
We're unaware of any indication of any Connecticut-based systems being compromised in the recent attack. However, I think it's important to note that this is nothing new. This is a continuation of a trend that we've seen throughout many, many years of adversarial nation states and even financially based actors that are seeking to target critical infrastructure asymmetrically through cyber means. So this is much a continuation of the campaigns that we've seen really since 2020 and even in some cases a little earlier.
I want to go back, Evan, to when you and I first connected, a while ago, and just kind of reintroduce what the Connecticut Intelligence Center is, what your role is, and how you're connected to combating things like these types of cyber attacks. Do you mind just kind of recapping that for people?
Absolutely. So the Connecticut Intelligence Center, or CTIC, is our state's DHS-recognized fusion center. So we bring together federal, state, local, private sector, individuals and organizations with the singular goal of just sharing the right information with the right people at the right time. So I think in the case of the most recent cyber attack on water systems, this is a good example of how we can function. And we got initial notification of the compromise throughout the Midwest and beyond from CISA, which is a cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency. We maintain a really strong partnership with CISA. They gave us the indicators of compromise, and we were, because of our position in the state, able to quickly share with our regional, our private sector partners, our municipal partners, to let them know, hey, this is coming. Here are the indicators of vulnerabilities for you to be able to patch your systems, and these are also some recommendations. And we did this almost immediately in late July, so that our posture in Connecticut is robust. And we also don't just seek to be reactive. We actively share information every week with those partners to strengthen our defenses here at home.
So, Evan, you might make fun of me, and I'm totally open to that. It's
no,
totally
I will
fine.
Not.
You're the smart one on this call, okay? So I acknowledge that. You're the expert. I'm just the questioner person. But could a cyber attack like this, could that actually make someone's drinking water unsafe? Or is there like this bigger immediate risk, losing water pressure or surface? Like immediately, here's where my mind's at, okay? And you're going to be like, oh my God, this woman. So
no.
I hear water utility cyber attack. And sure, I understand, you know, at the forefront, I think to myself, OK, so maybe personal accounts, information, you know, anybody who's connected to using that water utility. Right. So I get that. But then I kind of go to a deeper place where I'm like, well, now, hold on. Wait a minute. Could this impact our drinking water? Could this impact, you know, if we are still getting the best quality of our water pressure, for example? Or is that going into a totally different territory?
No, so it's totally an understandable reaction. This particular attack targeted programmable logic controllers, or PLCs, which are essentially just ruggedized computers that are in charge of controlling automated industrial machines. So it can change the water pressure. It can do, a number of different things. It would, if a disruptive cyber attack was put into place against these systems, and there were no backups, there were no manual controls. I think it's important to note in Minnesota and some of the other places, a lot of these sectors had really good backups and manual controls and were able to restore functionality. There is always the possibility that, you know, it could impact the delivery of water or the pressure or anything else. But because some of these individuals had manual backups, it didn't in this case. Now, that's not to say that there are other critical infrastructure sectors that could have some pretty catastrophic secondary and tertiary cascading effects. We know that the People's Republic of China have been targeting some of these what we call lifeline sectors for years. Just up the road at Littleton Water and Electric in Massachusetts, they found evidence of one of these campaigns within their systems. It's called Volt Typhoon, and they're charged with essentially pre-positioning on U.S.-based critical infrastructure lifeline systems in the event of a U.S. involvement in a war with Taiwan. So if they're in the utilities of our electric grid or our water systems, they could potentially shut off the lights. They could potentially stop the flow of water. They could potentially prevent us from communicating over the phone. So it's a very real threat, which is why we take such a collaborative effort in Connecticut specifically to harden our own systems.
We are chatting with Evan Allard, who is the director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center, part of the state's Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. And we are talking about water utilities that were impacted by cyber attacks. This was in at least 7 states, and Connecticut officials say no Connecticut water system has reported an attack, but they have acknowledged that they don't know how many systems use the equipment that was targeted. Evan, were these attacks, would you call them sophisticated? Or are we talking about hackers taking advantage of basic security mistakes like default passwords?
Yeah, so the term cyber attack can draw up a lot of images of very, very advanced actors getting around, advanced systems. But in most cases, in most of these compromise, it's very traditional sort of cyber defenses that stops these attacks. Things like default passwords, things like multi-factor authentication. It's really a continuation of trends of what we've seen over the last couple of years of how these individuals exploit vulnerabilities within our own systems. So AI has definitely enabled some of these individual threat actors to step up the game, so to speak, but it's also gave us a little bit of the edge in cyber defense as well. But really, the default passwords, the multi-factor authentication, and then having devices connected to the internet that maybe don't need to be, are all still the main culprits behind why systems are compromised in the U.S.
So would that be a concern? You know, when you think about maybe smaller Connecticut water systems, or even getting outside of water systems, just I'd say smaller businesses being more vulnerable because they may have fewer cybersecurity resources. Does that concern you?
It's concerning because, I mean, you are correct, right? The smaller organizations might not have the same resources as some of the larger ones. So that's why DESP has done put forth a number of initiatives like the administering the state and local cybersecurity grant program. So it's a federal funded initiative. We are the administrating agency, and eligible participants are municipalities, local authorities, school districts, council of governments, regional entities that might not have the same budget that some of these larger utilities companies can have, and they can use that money in order to shore up their cyber defenses. Another thing that we're doing is providing this information to individuals of these organizations so that they can take the necessary steps. And of course, CISA, our federal partners, conduct cyber vulnerability scanning, which can free of charge provide these individuals where they are potentially vulnerable in their cyber defensive posture.
And again, Evan Allard is here, the director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center. And Evan, when I sent you the article from CT Insider from a few days ago, and I know you were quoted in it, there is a part in there, and I'm probably going to have it wrong, so forgive me, but it said something along the lines of Connecticut not having like a centralized inventory of the equipment that's used by water systems. Does that create any kind of a cybersecurity blind spot?
It's hard to tell, and I don't think I have enough visibility on what every state is doing with their own council of governments or county government system, but we have what we have, and I think that in Connecticut we do enjoy and are very lucky to have the partnerships that we do with the federal government and our local municipal partners to be able to quickly communicate this information in the case like we saw in late July.
So, and this is, again, this might feel like too big of a question, Evan, not that you couldn't answer it, but the fact that it's like, hey, this requires way more than just me to answer it. But like, if a Connecticut utility were attacked tomorrow, it could be small, it could be large, anywhere in between, how quickly would operators even know something was wrong? And how quickly is it to go from, I guess, go to manual, would that make sense, like to try to rectify the situation as fast as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I can use an example. I think that last year we had a ransomware attack, which is slightly different. A lot of the ransomware is financially motivated, in which a financially motivated actor will lock data. When we got notification of the ransomware attack within hours, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 hours, and within an hour of the notification, we had everybody, federal government, state government, private sector, on a single call together to share information and provide recommendations. So that entity that was impacted was on manual operations in less than 12 hours, so that there was no impact of functionality at all for the system. So it can happen very quickly. And it's obviously not good that it did happen, but it was a good proof of concept to demonstrate how we're able to, in Connecticut, respond and help and mitigate some of these events.
And does Connecticut, in your professional opinion, Evan, do you think Connecticut needs stronger requirements for, you know, when we talk about water utilities, for example, and again, this could be for, you know, other sectors or I guess other industries, but because we're talking about water utilities, do you think Connecticut needs stronger requirements for water utilities to report cybersecurity vulnerabilities, or is there more we could do to avoid something like this happening?
I think that there's always more to be done when it comes to cybersecurity. I mean, when you think about the cybersecurity as a whole, it's almost like everyone forgets about it until something like this happens, and then it's back into the forefront of the news. So I think more investment into people, into resources, into relationships, it is always needed, because we know that it is essentially the next battleground. We know that our adversaries, you know, not just the big four of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, but other financially motivated actors and hacktivists as well, are all seeking to essentially wage asymmetric warfare through cyber. Proximity and geography is an issue, and each one of these threat actors has their own motivations and missions for doing so, but the common thread that links them all is critical infrastructure. So I think that, just my personal opinion, is that nothing is ever going to be enough, specifically in the midst of this sort of pseudo arms race in the middle of developing AI hacking and cyber defense tools. So does that answer your question?
It does. It does. I mean, you're talking about long-term vulnerabilities with infrastructure. And honestly, Evan, what's so interesting to me about AI, and I get the fears of AI, trust me, I mean, I see both sides of it. Certainly there is good, like there is for everything, but I think that there's a lot of concerns around AI. Probably the biggest challenge is that AI is going to replace jobs, for example. And I think to myself, if you've got the next generation coming, like I've gotten my son into STEM and programming and cybersecurity, like just going into even camps and like starting to see, you know, is this something you could be interested in? Because quite frankly, I don't know any line of business that if you don't have somebody specifically working in cybersecurity for your small business, large business, anything in between, I think you're missing the boat. To echo what you're saying, I think if you don't have a full-time person, and of course, that could be more than one person, depending on how big your company is. If you don't have someone who specifically does cybersecurity, you are missing the boat.
I agree.
100%. So I feel like more and more we should have more people working in cybersecurity. And then there are your jobs. I mean, not all of them, obviously. But to me, that is a pipeline that we need to fill, and we need to fill it fast.
And I think that, just to add on to that, there's a lot of fear about AI replacing jobs. And, you know, that's, some of them might be founded, but there's always going to be a required person in the loop. AI is not perfect yet, and the hacking tools aren't perfect, the defenses aren't perfect, and this new generation, like maybe your son, are going to be on the forefront of harnessing the power of this new technology in order to keep our system safe. And that's going to require a person that's knowledgeable and has the expertise from the cybersecurity perspective.
Evan Allard, I want to thank you so much for what you do, director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center, and certainly keep us posted if we get any updates in regards to this water utilities cyber attack story and if there's any connections back to Connecticut. We appreciate it.